भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11th चैप्टर 9th एंटाइटल्ड डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम ऑल दैट इज मटेरियल वर्स नंबर 20। सो प्लीज रिपीट बिहाइंड मी। तमाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमान। तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमान। तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमान। तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम। तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमान। तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमा। माताजी तामाहु स्त्रिगुण व्यक्तिम सृजन्तीं विश्वतो मुखम यस्मिन् प्रोतम इदं विश्वम येन संसरते पुमान। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग्स। ताम द महत्तत्व, आहु देसे, त्रिगुण द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर, व्यक्तिम मैनिफेस्टिंग एज द कॉज, सृजन्तीं क्रिएटिंग, विश्वतः मुखम, many different categories of cosmic manifestation, yasmin within the mahatattva, protam strung and bound, idam this, vishvam universe, yena by which, samsarate undergoes material existence, Puman, the living being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to great sages, that which is the basis of the three modes of material nature and which manifests the variegated universe is called the Sutra or Mahatattva. Indeed, this universe is resting within that Mahatattva, and due to its potency, the living entity undergoes material existence. Purport. The cosmic manifestation is a reality because it emanates from the supreme reality, the personality of Godhead. The material world, however, is temporary and full of problems. The conditioned soul foolishly tries to become the lord of this inferior creation and becomes separated from his real friend, the supreme lord. In this state, his only business is material sense gratification and his real knowledge is lost. Sorry, the purport is given by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. ఉమజ్ఞానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకాయ చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురువే నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శివాసాది గౌర్ భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఫస్ట్ I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas here so that I can speak something meaningful which can transform the lives of both of us, the audience and the speaker also. So this is a very technical verse, so I'll try to do as much justice as I can. So this verse basically describes about how living entity gets entangled into this material world, which is actually consist of three modes of material nature coming out from the Mahatattva. And then we come into the samsara, getting entangled into this material existence. So it basically talks about how the living entity is trapped in this material world. Like we keep the trap for the rats, and we see the difficult situation in which the rat is there. So similarly, we are also in that situation only, but problem is we don't recognize that we are also similar to that rat. So in our discussion today, we'll try to cover these following points. The principle of Mahatattva, what actually Mahatattva is, what Pradhan is all about. And then we'll see the temporary nature of this, why this world is called as temporary, and why this material world is created in the first place. What is the purpose behind the creation of this material world? And the foolishness of the living entities who are trying to lord over the material nature, we'll also try to see about that. And what is the way out? So after diagnosing the problem, we should also give some solution. I mean, how to come out of this entangling material existence. We'll try to see that also. So to start with the principle of Mahatattva, so it is very complicated, mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third canto also. So what does it actually means? So Mahavishnu, Karanodakshai Vishnu, he is lying in the causal ocean, Karana ocean. So when the Lord desires to create the material creation, the material world, then something comes out from the body of the Lord, and that is called as Pradhan. Pradhan is basically the unmanifested form. It is in an inactive phase. It is not inactive phase, passive phase. And then when the Lord glances upon this Pradhan, and the glance of the Lord consists of Kala, Karma and Swabhava. So Kala is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And Karma and Swabhava, actually they form the Jiva, which is the living entity. So when the Lord glances upon the Pradhan, then the creation actually begins. Then the first element that comes out from this glance is Mahatattva. And then gradually many other things also comes out, like the mode of goodness, and then something called as, then comes the ignorance, because of the mode of ignorance comes out the Ahankara. And this Mahatattva, when it is inside the living entity, it is called as Chitta, the consciousness of the living entity. So here it is clearly mentioned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually He impregnates this Mahatattva or the Pradhan, the initial stage. So then the living entity comes out. But we see in the postmodern civilization, we have different theories. Like we have actually two different extremes, if you see. The first extreme is that the overzealous materialists, they, in order to exploit the material nature, for the advancement of technology, they are actually completely exploiting the mother nature. And we see the result of what's happening, so many disasters that are coming up in the material nature. And it is also said that the nature has brought our planet on the verge of ecocide. So ecocide is nothing but deliberate destruction of natural environment. That is what is being done by the scientists today in order to make advancement, technical advancement, scientific advancement, trying to exploit the mother nature. This is one extreme, completely exploiting mother nature. The other extreme is, in the name of concern for the nature, these people, they try to look no further beyond nature, and they are trying to hide the existence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are saying that the mother nature is everything. It's everything. And all the living entities are coming from mother nature. They are ruling out the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the theories like secularism, they are coming up. But Prabhupada mentions clearly in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, he gives the example of a scorpion. When the scorpion lays eggs inside the, rice, and then after some time the eggs break and the scorpion comes out from the rice. And some people may assume that, the scorpion is coming from the rice, and rice is the mother of scorpion. So similarly, many people mistake that the living entities are coming out from the mother nature. But in actuality, what is happening? It is coming out from the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the seed-giving father. Aham Bija Pradapita. Clearly mentions in Bhagavad Gita. But this is the problem that people are, rolling back and forth in between these two extremes. Totally exploiting the mother nature or defying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And which is the wrong understanding of the whole thing. So generally, the material nature, what does it does? It actually provides us with a dress and the resources to try to enjoy in this material world. So why this material world is created, and why it is called as temporary? Like the Mayavadis, they say, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. They say the Supreme Lord is the only reality, and this material world is mithya, illusory. But the Vaishnava understanding is, it is real, but it is temporary. That is the actual understanding. Like example is given during the time of rainy season appears and disappears regularly. Similarly, the creation also takes place again and again. It is annihilated under the control of the Supreme Lord. So it is going on. Creation is going on, then dissolution is going on, creation is going on. It is eternally going on. So in that sense, it is called as temporary, but it is real. The suffering in the material world is real. We are experiencing that. So why such a temporary and miserable material world is created in the first place? The living entities come to this world to fulfill his long cherished desire to lord it over the material nature. So anadikal, it is coming. So we had this desire to dominate the material nature, which is why we have landed in this place, which is full of miseries. So why does the Lord created such a place in first place? Is he a bad person? Is he a sadist kind of person? Is taking enjoyment in the suffering of the living entities in this material world? No. Actually, we are only the cause of that. Because we wanted to live independent from the Lord, and we had this minute little independence which is called as free will. And because of the misuse of this free will, we are here. And the Lord has nothing to do with this. He is actually completely aloof from this. He is not affected by this influence of the material energy. Like example is given, a small child, he wanted to play something. So he approaches the mother. Mother, mother, I wanted to play something. So mother says, it is very hot outside, summer season. No, don't go outside, play, sit inside only. But the child insists, I want to go outside. Then the mother says, okay, go there, in that area, play there. So similarly, we also desire to come to this material world trying to live independent from the Supreme Lord. So Krishna said, okay, it is very dangerous place, but still if you want to go, you know, this is the place I have created. So Krishna has created a kshetra for us, an arena to play in this material world, where we can actually try to enjoy, you know, trying to lord it over the material nature. So unless the field is given, there is no point of, you know, playing in this material world. So Krishna gave this material world as a playground for the living entities. Try to enjoy in this world, try to become the master of this world. So however we are trying to lord it over here in this material world, trying to enjoy, trying to become supreme controller, whatever it is, enjoyer. But it is actually the illusion in which we are doing all these things. In actuality it is not happening. It is only the illusion of the Lord in which we are thinking that we are trying to become masters of this world. But it's a great illusion. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna mentions that the living entity is trying to become Purusha, enjoyer like the Supreme Lord. And the verse which explains is, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhungte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasat Yoni Janmashu. So living entity is undergoing this samsara in this material existence, you know, trying to get into different varieties of existence, like sometimes he becomes a demigod, sometimes he becomes a human being, most of the time, and many times he enters into different species also, lower species, like plant, animals, beasts, reptiles, so many other varieties. So this change of dress, why it is happening? It is because of our attachment to the material existence. We are not able to give it up. Because we are so conditioned to the little enjoyment which we are getting in this material world, and we are thinking that it is everything. And that is causing our attachment even more and more deeper. It has become deeper and deeper. Very difficult to give it up. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains in another place the reason why we have landed up here. Ichha dvesha samudhena dvandva mohena bharata. So Krishna is telling that because of this ichha, desire and also hatred for the Supreme Lord, enviousness towards Supreme Lord, we have landed up in this material world. And having come into this material world, the living entities, you know, experiences the dualities of this material world. He gets influenced by the dualities of this material world. So one time Prabhupada asked this question to all his disciples, what is that one thing by which we can go back to the spiritual world? And disciples were giving different reasons. Someone was telling humility, someone was telling gratitude, many other things. But Prabhupada said, no, the desire. The first thing is we should have the desire to go back to the spiritual world. Since we have come into this material world because of the desire only, ichha. And the same desire, if it is refined, if it is, you know, purified, and by that also we can go back to the spiritual world. We have come to this world because of the desire, and we can go back to the spiritual world because of the desire only, once it is purified. So we are experiencing different kinds of dualities, like honor, dishonor, misery, happiness, good, bad, pleasure and pain, profit, loss, so many things. And we are getting affected by these dualities. So having landed up in this material world, slowly we are getting into more and more entanglement. The misery is increasing day by day. And this is not sufficient. There is more to come. The Maya, the external energy of the Lord, it also has two different aspects of coverings. Like first one is called as Avarnatmika covering, Avarnatmika Shakti. So what does it mean? It means covering of the knowledge. Like we have an example in Bhagavad Gita only, three kinds of covering. You know, like first one is like smoke, fire covered by smoke, and then mirror covered by dust, and embryo covered by the womb. So at least human beings, we have a chance to, you know, practice spirituality. We can do something about it. And this covering, this Avarnatmika Shakti, is so powerful, but the person, even though he is suffering in this world, he is thinking that I am happy here. That is the illusion she creates. Example is given that of a camel. When camel is eating the leaves, so along with the leaves, it also eats thorns. And while eating the thorns, when the blood comes out from its mouth, it thinks that this is some rasa is coming out from the leaves. And the camel enjoys its own blood. So that is the kind of illusion Maya is putting all the living entities into. That is the avarnatmika shakti of Maya. And sometimes it can happen with the devotee also. Devotee, and that is about the prakshepatmika. So what is this shakti? This is called as pulling down potency of Maya. It pulls down. For example, when a devotee becomes determined to do bhakti, he wanted to practice spirituality nicely, then the Maya acts on this kind of devotee also. The Maya actually tests the devotee whether he is serious about the spirituality or not, trying to pull him down, giving him different kinds of tests. And then she actually sees whether he has a faith in this process. Like example, long back, Jagannath Prabhu gave a very wonderful example of a devotee getting affected. So he says one time one person, so maybe I will use my own name, so Mr. Ravi, he went to airport because he had a flight to go to some other place, suppose Delhi. So he had some time before for the flight. So he was just walking here and there, and then he saw a machine, weighing machine, like we used to do in the railway station and bus stands when we were small. So he goes there and he puts some money, and then the card comes out which says that your name is Ravi and your weight is so and so and your height is so and so. So he becomes puzzled, astonished. How does this machine came to know about my name? Weight okay, but how did it come to know about my name? So he gets bewildered. Then he tries to test it again. Then this time he comes in a different guise. You know, he changes his dress. He puts a big pagdi and big mustache and then comes, you know, trying to cheat the machine. But the second time also the machine exactly gives the same details. Mr. Ravi and same weight and same height. So he becomes further astonished. And he tries for the third time in another dress. Same thing happens. So he becomes so bewildered. But in this process, what happened? The flight went away. So similarly, a devotee is trying to practice spirituality in this world. He may also get entangled by the illusory potency of the Lord and gets engaged into the play with the things of this world. And meanwhile, time goes away. Death comes and we lose everything. So that can happen with us also. So probably in this problem, in this particular example, Mr. Ravi was alone. There was no one to tell him, my dear friend, you know, don't try to play so much, otherwise the material world will play with you. So we come out of it. It is like similar to the pastime of Bharat Maharaj also. Bharat Maharaj, he is a Mahabhagavat, but we can learn lesson from him that he was alone trying to practice devotional service, and we know what happened with him. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur also in his one of his bhajans mentions about how the living entity gets further and further entangled in this samsara, the material existence. Bhuliya tumare samsare asiya. And eventually the living entity feels like samsara lagilo bhalo. So he likes this material existence even though there is so much of problem around him. So that is the kind of covering the Maya puts upon the living entities. So the living entity is thus suffering so much in this material world, trying to lord over the material nature, trying to dominate the material nature. So then what is the way out? So after discussing so much, so there should be some solution also. So how can we come out of this material existence? So we see basically in this material world, in the earthly planet, people generally act in the mode of passion and ignorance, which is the cause of so much of suffering. So if we cultivate little mode of goodness in this material world, then we may come to the real understanding of the nature of the material world, how it is acting, what are the characteristics of this material nature. Then we can be situated in some happiness and we can practice bhakti nicely. But although it is not the all in all, it is not everything, but it can help us. Like it is compared to the runway in the airport. So runway, on the runway the plane actually runs faster. and that helps the airplane to actually make a leap. It can fly in the air. So similarly, mode of goodness also can help us to actually leap into the transcendence, to practice bhakti nicely in this material world. So the correct understanding of the material world is very important. We should know how it works. For example, Srila Prabhupada, he knew exactly how does the material energy works. So one time Prabhupada was walking along with his disciples, and Bhavanand Prabhu was also there with him. So there was a big mansion that came on the way, and Bhavanand Prabhu, he was showing to Srila Prabhupada, "See how beautiful this mansion is, Prabhupada." The Prabhupada saw it and then he spat it towards the building. So then Bhavanand Prabhu became a little bewildered, why Prabhupada did like this? You know, because he wanted to show that building so that they can buy it for, you know, making a temple. So then he understood why Prabhupada did like that. Prabhupada did like that because he knew this is illusion. So although Prabhupada know this art of, you know, using the things of this material world in service of Krishna, at the same time he was aware of the illusory potency of the material nature, the power of the material nature. So that is the proper understanding which Prabhupada had. And we should also be similarly very alert about the nature of this material world. So as I said, mode of goodness is not everything. It is not sufficient to break the cycle of samsara, but it can help us. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter also it is mentioned, tadarajastamobhava kamalobhadayasche cheteteranavidham stitam sattve prasidati. So in this verse it is mentioned, when we develop the irrevocable loving service towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our hearts, then the effects of both mode of passion and ignorance actually comes down. And then we can experience the happiness in this material world. But Krishna specifies in the Bhagavad Gita that we should actually transcend the three modes also. It is not that by situated in mode of goodness, it is okay, that is sufficient. No. Krishna says we should transcend these three modes also by practicing bhakti. Mam chayo abhyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatittetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So Krishna is telling that by practicing bhakti, then we can transcend the three modes also. And the second way is like taking shelter of Krishna. It is not easy. The statement appears very simple, but it is so tough. And it is a big word, taking shelter of Krishna. So Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, my Maya is very powerful, she is called as Duratya. I mean, she is very dangerous. Maya knows how to influence the living entities. She knows where to hit us. Like in a boxing ring, sometimes the opponent comes to know our weak point. So they try to punch near the ribs. It is little weaker. So the boxer hits where it hurts the most. So Maya is also like that. She hits us where it actually hurts us the most. So very difficult to cross over this material nature. But what is prescribed by Krishna? Surrender unto me. Is surrender so easy? No. We see even Markandeya Muni, in his lifetime, when he did some tapasya and pleased Naranarayan Rishi, then he asked for a benediction from Lord Narayan. He said, "My dear Narayan, I want to see the illusory potency of you." So we should not cultivate such kind of desires. Already we are into Maya here. So, but Markandeya Muni, he was the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. He wanted to see this illusory energy of the Lord. So then the Lord smiles and goes away. And within no time, the whole hermitage of Markandeya Rishi is filled with floods. He is inundated with floods. And then he is actually struggling in that water of dissolution. So it was actually the water of dissolution. It was not a simple flood. So he was just tossing the up and down, left and right, completely miserable condition. So he was thinking in his mind, why did I ask such a benediction? And then finally he sees something beautiful. On the banyan tree, the bank of on one of the islands there, he sees a little child, you know, sleeping on the banyan leaf. Vatapatra Shai, it is called as. And he is licking his own, he is putting his toe in his own mouth, trying to, you know, see how his devotees get pleasure in, you know, taking the dust from his lotus feet. So then when he sees this beautiful form, immediately he gets relieved from all his miserable situation. He becomes very happy from inside. And then something happens, he actually gets into the mouth of the child and he sees the whole universe there, and then he comes out. He lands on a land, island there. Some says he went to Jagannath Puri, and some said Godrima Deep in Mayapur also. We have two different stories, maybe different kalpas. So here we can see how Markandeya Muni, he saw the illusory energy of the Lord. But we don't have that capacity also to see that, but we are already suffering in this material world, and we should become alert about our spirituality. We do not have to go through all that of suffering. So sometimes a devotee, he becomes so relaxed, so complacent, and in his heart he is thinking that, you know, maybe some calamity, if it comes, then maybe I will become a little serious. Although he may not say it, but unconsciously it is there. Why wait for such a calamity in order to become serious in spiritual life? You know, better do it early, proactively. So that is what we can learn from the little pastime of Markandeya Muni. Need not have to go through so much of suffering. And the third way in which we can actually get rid of the samsara, the most important, is by practicing devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of devotees. So practicing devotional service in the association of devotees is very important. Alone we cannot practice bhakti, it's very difficult. Sometimes we have this experience, especially when I go home, it becomes very difficult to practice bhakti there. The atmosphere is not so conducive. But here in temple and in the homes of devotees where everyone is a devotee, so it is very easy to practice bhakti. So Bhagavad Gita, in Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this process very nicely. How to practice devotional service in the association of devotees and what happens. So, Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, and before that, Matchitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanchita Ramanticha. So in the association of devotees, we can discuss Krishna Katha, we can chant more, and by doing that we can actually become satisfied inside, we can become happy. And Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. Krishna is telling, then I will give you the intelligence also, by which you can understand the material energy, by which you can understand me, and you can practice Krishna consciousness nicely in a proper way. And what is the effect? Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyanajam tamaha nashyami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. So Krishna is telling, if you practice devotional service nicely, then I will personally clean all the dirt which is there in your heart. And he is giving this guarantee that I will take care of the cleansing process of your heart. Don't worry about that. So as we discussed earlier, we had the desire by which we came into this material world, Ichha Dvesha Samuttena. So in order to go back, we should purify our desires. And this purification can happen by hearing every day Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So our process is like, you know, 99% of our process is depending on the chanting of the holy names. But that 1% is also very important. To develop faith in the chanting of the holy names, to develop the conviction and the seriousness of why we should chant. So that is all depending upon our hearing, our dealing with the devotees, study of Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So that will remind us every day the nature of this material world, how difficult this place is, and that will become impetus for us to take spirituality seriously. So that is why it is needed to every day hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So how does the pure devotee sees this material world? Although externally we may see sometimes the pure devotees are also having a lot of miseries, problems, health problems, but actually they are not experiencing, they are beyond that. like Bhagavad Gita also mentions, Yo Mam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashyati. They see everything in Krishna and Krishna in everything. That is how their vision is towards this material nature. And whenever difficulties come in their life, they take it as mercy of the Supreme Lord. And with that consciousness, they go on with their services. If you take the example of Srila Madhavendra Puri, he was comfortably situated doing his bhajan. And one day Krishna engages him in his service. You know, tells him to go to the Malaya mountains to get the chandan for the little Gopal. So we see how Srila Madhavendra Puri, he goes through a lot of difficulties. But he never said, you know, sab achha chal raha tha, bhiye, kyu seva de? Everything was so nice. No, he did it very nicely, thoroughly, perfectly. That is the consciousness of the pure devotee. And in this way also we should try to see both the Lord and the material energy. Like in the first canto it is mentioned, Srila Vyasadeva, he sees both the material energy and the Supreme Lord simultaneously. So he had the proper understanding of both the Maya and the Supreme Lord. So similarly we should also have proper understanding of how this material energy works, material world works. Then we can actually become very serious in our spirituality. So having taken permission from the tomorrow speaker, I would like to speak something about the Purushottam Mass, which is beginning from tomorrow, which is also called as Adhik Mass. So first we will see how does this Adhik Mass is formed, some technical thing. So in the lunar month, the month is actually divided into 29 end of days, average, you know, something like 29 end of days, and which comes to 354 days in a year. So in the solar calendar it is 365 days, the lunar calendar it is 354. So there is an average difference of around 11 days every year. So it is said that every 3 years this Adhik Mass is formed. You know, one complete full month is formed after every 3 years, 2 and a half to 3 years. So that is called as Adhik Mass. It is also called as Mala Mass. Mala means stool actually, very abominable mass, month. So we'll try to see, there is a story behind how this of Purushottam Mass, how it formed and why it is called as Purushottam Mass, although it is so abominable in one sense. The story goes something like this. So one time, Srila Narad Muni, he happens to be in Badrik Ashram. So he meets Naranarayan Rishi. So he asks them, you know, we see so much of suffering outside. The living entities are so entangled in this material world. So what is the way out for them? You know, is there any hope for them? So then Lord Narayan explains him, tells him the story, a conversation between Lord Krishna and Yudhishthir Maharaj. So now the story goes to the Mahabharata times, where the Pandavas, they were in exile, and one day it happened that Lord Krishna also was with them. So then they were discussing, and suddenly Krishna tells, I will tell you about Purushottam Mass. It's a very important month. So everyone becomes very curious. And he also tells them that all of you are suffering so much because you did not do any Purushottam Vrata, which just passed away. Actually, few months back, when they were in the exile in the forest, the Purushottam Mass actually got finished. And he said, because of this, because you did not perform it properly, you didn't know about it, so that's why you are in so much of suffering. Especially he tells to Draupadi, and because of an offense you did towards this Purushottam Mass in your previous life, and you had to go through so much of misery in the assembly of Kuru. Now that's why now here it's very important why it is needed to perform this Purushottam Vrata in this month. So he narrates the story. So one time, one fine day, the Purushottam Mass appeared, or the Mala Mass appeared. So when she appeared, so everyone just, you know, ignored her, and she was completely rejected by everyone. So no one was interested in her, and she became very frustrated, disappointed, unhappy, why no one is caring for me, why no one is protecting me. And she became very miserable. And no one actually wanted to perform any fruitive activity also in this month. So she became very hurt. Then she finally went to Vaikuntha. She took shelter of Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, and told him, you know, I am so miserable, no one is protecting me, no one is taking care of me, everyone is, you know, rejecting me. Kindly help me to get rid of this misery. So then Lord Vishnu, you know, being compassionate on her, he tells her, okay, don't worry. Now you are here, I will take care of you. So then he takes her to the abode of Lord Krishna, Golok Vrindavan. She is so fortunate. You know? Lord Vishnu personally took her to Golok Vrindavan. So then he said to her, then he will actually relieve you from all the misery, don't worry. So then they go to the Golok Vrindavan when Krishna is there. So Krishna meets Lord Vishnu, official meeting. And then he tells the whole story of this Malamas or Adhikmas. That Krishna also shows compassion on her and tells her, don't worry. Now because you have taken shelter of me, I will protect you. I will actually invest all my potencies, all my energies, all my shaktis in you. And I will personally give you my name to this mass. And then that mass is known as Purushottama mass from that point of time. And that is how it becomes very powerful. Purushottama mass becomes very important. So now Krishna tells to Yudhishthira and Draupadi, you know, about the story of her previous life, how she offended this Purushottama mass. So in her previous life, Draupadi, she was a Brahmana girl. She was a daughter of a sage called as Medhavi, very powerful sage. And she grew and she became a very beautiful girl. And when she saw that all her friends, other friends, they got married, settled nicely, but somehow his father never cared for marrying her. You know, he was busy in his own world. So he never cared to marry this girl. And unfortunately, one day the father dies and the girl remains unmarried. And she is thinking, what should I do now? There is no one to protect me. And during that time, one day Durvas Muni comes there. So then she tells to him, you know, the condition she is into, which I am unmarried, there is no one to protect me, my father left me, you know, what should I do now? So at that time, Durvas Muni tells her, you know, this is Purushottama mass. You do some vrata in this mass, then you will get rid of all the miseries and you will get a nice husband also. So after hearing the glories of Purushottama, somehow she did not have any faith in that. She thought he is exaggerating. She didn't have any faith in that. And she was actually not caring for what he was telling. But you know, Durvas Muni generally is very angry. And this made him very angry. But somehow he controlled his anger because, you know, she is innocent and she is the daughter of my friend Medhavi. So he became very pacified. Maybe this is the only instance where Durvas Muni is pacified, you know, even after someone has provoked him. So then he tells him, because you have offended this Purushottama mass, you have to bear the consequences in your next life. And he goes away. So then in order to get a good husband, she started performing tapasya towards Lord Shiva. And she did this tapasya for many thousands of years. And very, very severe tapasya she was doing, you know, surrounded by fire. Even the demigods, they were bewildered, you know, what is she doing? So then finally Lord Shiva comes and, you know, blesses her. And then she tells him, you know, I want a husband. Because she was so desperate to have a husband so that she will be under some protection, she tells Lord Shiva 5 times, I want a husband, I want a husband, 5 times. So then he says, Tathastu, you will get 5 husbands. 5 husbands, unheard of this during those times, lady having 5 husbands. Even today also. So she said, how it is possible? Don't worry, in your next life when you take birth as Draupadi, you will get 5 husbands. And don't worry, it will be completely under dharma only. So then eventually after some time she passes away and she takes birth as Draupadi. So then after hearing this story from Lord Krishna, everyone becomes a little careful. So Krishna advises them, at least now in the next Adhikmas which is coming, perform some vrata. Then you will become powerful, you will regain your kingdom back. So, and they do also. So, what is this vrata? Purushottam vrata. We have to do something. We are already doing it. As a devotee, we are doing it. So what we can do is we can increase our quantity and quality also. More focus maybe on quality and also a little bit of quantity. But outsiders, for karmis, it is recommended that they have to do some dana, some tapa and some japa. And by that, you know, they can get benefit of this Purushottam mass. So it is also recommended. It is said that this particular month, Purushottam mass, 16 times more powerful than any other month, including Kartik month also. So it is so powerful. And so many other things, all the sinful reactions are destroyed. And it is as good as performing 100 horse sacrifices, so many things. Devotees are not interested in all this. But for a devotee, we need not have to wait for this Purushottam mass. Every moment, every day can be this Purushottam mass for us, you know, if you take it in a right perspective. For outsiders like yogis, if you take the example of yogis, they have to wait for a proper time in order to give up their bodies, physical bodies. And similarly, if you see outsider karmis, you know, they are so lazy in spirituality, so lethargic to take up spirituality. So for them, when something comes up, you know, Kartik mass, so they become little interested and eager, and they do something. You know, they wait for such an occasion to actually get into spirituality. But for a devotee, it can be every day, every moment also. So that is how we can take advantage of this Purushottam mass. So Krishna is so merciful. So when he has created this material world for us, you know, he has not left us alone. He is our real friend. He comes as a Paramatma in everyone's heart, trying to help us, guide us. And along with this, he also gives the special occasions like this. Purushottam mass, Kartik mass, Ekadashi Vrat, so that we can take advantage of these special days, and then we can actually accelerate our going back home, back to spiritual world. So that is how he is merciful. He is always there to help us in this material world. Although we are suffering, surrounded by so much of suffering in this world, Krishna is there with us. So that is also told that when a sannyasi, it is said that he wanders alone. No, he doesn't wander alone. He actually wanders with Paramatma inside the heart. So that is the kind of fearlessness which the sannyasis get, you know, after they leave everything of this material world. So it is starting from tomorrow. And I have personally taken note of some of the things which I thought I will be doing from tomorrow. So please bless me that I will be able to do it. And with this note, I will end here. So if you have any comments or any question, try to answer. Thank you very much. Srimad Granthra, Srimad Bhagavatam ki